Amen. If you want your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And some of you may not know, but we do have three policemen who are members of our church. And Brother Rodriguez is here this morning. I know I hate to embarrass him, but it's going to be all right. I'm going to raise your hand. Would you just kind of raise your hand so people know who you are? All right?
Amen.
Amen. And then the other two, I didn't see Ryan. I think he's here. He's working. But Ryan Spivey. And then Weston Wood also, and they usually sit kind of back in here. And he's probably working today too. But let's remember our policemen, our Amen. Police ladies in prayer. John chapter 10. Look at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of a stranger. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
This parable, and again, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus used parables, these illustrations of nature, in order to help us to understand biblical truth and to understand biblical doctrine. By the way, doctrine just means biblical teachings. And so here he is giving a parable again. And look at verse 7, it says, look at verse 6. And the parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again. So he's going to explain the parable. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come, or all that ever came before me, are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, you ought to. I am the door. One of the great I ams of the New Testament. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm glad the Christian life is not just about heaven, but we can have an abundant life here on earth as well. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to just to sing together and lift up praises to you. I pray this morning that you would be with the message, that you again would just help us to comprehend the love of the shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. A few weeks ago on Father's Day, I preached a message on the prodigal son, and we made the effort to make sure that you understood that Luke chapter 15 and the prodigal son was more about the love of the father than it was the prodigal son. Yes, the prodigal son left his home. He told his dad, hey, give me my inheritance. And he went out. The Bible says the young man went out and lived it up in righteous living and spent all that he had. And we know from verse 30 there in chapter 15 that included, you know, prostitutes and just drinking and wine and just all the things that we might consider, again, riotous living. One day the young man woke up and realized that his servants, that his dad's servants and his dad's house had it better than he had it. For he had found himself without friends, found himself without money, found himself destitute and alone, and found himself feeding pigs in slop in the field, and which a Jew, by law, was not supposed to be even associated with pigs, because by law it was not a part of that, of their eating habits. As I said a few weeks ago, I'm glad it's a part of our eating habits. The young man woke up and said, you know what, my servants have it better. My dad's servants have it better than I do. I'm going to go back to my dad's house. I'm going to ask my dad if he would just allow me to be one of his servants. And so he made his journey back. And as you know, he entered into that long corridor, that long, lengthy driveway. And as he walked down that driveway, he saw his dad running towards him. And the Bible says his dad picked him up and hugged him and kissed him and told them to come and bring kill the fatted calf and bring the robe and put a ring on his finger. And the young man just wanted to come back and be a servant. But he wasn't a servant. He was a son. And Jesus Christ gave that parable to show and to answer his critics, which was the Pharisees and Sadducees, as to God's love. The Pharisees and Sadducees had a wrong understanding of how much God really loves everyone. God is no respecter of persons. Aren't you glad of that? I'm so glad God is no respecter of persons. No matter how old or how young you are, no matter how rich or how poor, no matter your ethnicity, no matter what is in your life, God is no respecter of persons. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so his dad, of course, approached him, kissed him. And Jesus Christ answered his critics by saying, "Hey, Pharisees, Sadducees, you think you're above the sinner? You think you're above the publican, the tax collector? You think you're so high and mighty? But listen, God loves the tax collector." That's a big deal. God loves the sinner. God loves those who break the law. God loves everyone. The first parable in Luke chapter 15 has to do with a lost sheep. There was a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one sheep went astray. He had 99 left, but one went astray. The Bible says in the parable that Jesus gave to, again, to the Pharisees and Sadducees, that the shepherd left the 99 and went after looking for that one sheep. I want to remind you, what was most valuable, the one or the 99? I'm talking about monetary value. The 99 was more valuable. Why would this shepherd leave the 99 to go find the one? It certainly wasn't an economic decision. For you see, it was a love decision. He loved that sheep. He probably had seen that sheep be born and that lamb be born. He had watched that lamb grow up. He loved the sheep. And Jesus Christ, again, addressing the Pharisees and Sadducees, those religious leaders, He was saying to them, "Listen, God loves that one who goes astray." And just because Jesus Christ was eating with publicans, and just because He was eating with sinners, He was showing them God's love. Amen. God loves everyone. Here we're reminded that same premise, if you would, that Jesus Christ is our shepherd. Here He's described as the good shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. The shepherd and His people... It's amazing how, and I'm not going to go into a great in-depth about this morning, but sheep are not the smartest animals in the world. Sheep, you put a sheep, you put sheep out in a pasture, and they'll decimate a pasture by just eating the grass all the way down to the roots. Just you have to keep moving them, or else they'll just. If a sheep gets caught up or gets turned over, I mean they're just done unless somebody comes along and picks them back up. It's kind of like a turtle that you find on top of a fence post. Now, anyway, that's a whole other story. But the sheep has to have help. The shepherd carries the staff, and the shepherd watches the sheep because sheep need a shepherd. They need a shepherd, or else they won't survive. They won't survive. And so we need a shepherd. And we have a shepherd, our heavenly shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. The human race has gone astray. We have strayed from God. And we are to be reconciled back to God through Jesus Christ, our shepherd. Christians, we have a need for a shepherd. What is the heart of the shepherd? Well, we can see here a few things in chapters 10. "Verily, verily, I say to you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Here we see the example of the shepherd who has put his sheep into a fold, or into a corral, if you would. It is the shepherd who allows them and opens the door for them to come in and out. There's only one door into this corral. I know when I was a kid growing up, and my dad still has a cattle, you know, cattle corral, cattle pens and all sorts of things. But here we see about a shepherd putting his sheep into this corral, into this sheepfold. And there's one door into the sheep. He makes that very clear. "I am the door," he says. The porter opens it, verse 3 says. The porter is the one who's opening and shutting it. And we think about that Jesus Christ is the porter. And he's opening and shutting the door as to who enters into the sheepfold, into that into that enclosure. Everybody with me? I keep repeating myself a little bit. It'll be all right. The sheepfold. And the sheep that are in the sheepfold are going in and out because of the shepherd. He is opening and shutting the door. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. He is the porter that opens and closes the door. The sheep hear his voice, the Bible says. I want to go back to the first illustration that the Sadducees and the religious leaders of that day did not hear the voice of God. They were too much stuck on their pride and too much prideful and arrogant in their understanding of the love that should be displayed to lost sinners. But Jesus Christ loves lost sinners. And so the Sadducees and Pharisees did not hear. The people follow because they heard him. I want to go back to verse 3 again. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. I was watching a program. You can go YouTube this as well. And you can watch shepherds and get a better understanding of how literally they can call their sheep, and their sheep will come and follow them. It's amazing. Also, I've seen the YouTube video of several shepherds having sheep in a fold or in an enclosure. So they had several, sheep herds in this enclosure. And one shepherd could come out and call his sheep, and just his sheep would come to him. Now, that's amazing. With cattle, my pawpaw would sit on the back porch, and he about 100 acres, and he would just go, "Ah!" and the cattle would start coming. But that's a little different than, did everybody get that one? It's good. My dad still does that, by the way. And I remember as a kid, my great-grandfather doing the same thing. It's kind of passed on from generation. So probably when I retire, I'll do the same thing. But those cattle, I'm telling you, it won't take 15 minutes, and you start seeing the cattle come. You know why they're coming? Because they know they're going to get fed. And they've gotten used to that yell, that holler, and they know that holler indicates they're going to get fed. And a shepherd, but what's unique about sheep is you can have multiple shepherds with multiple sheep herds and flock. There we go. Thank you, Brother Clark. And the flock, and that particular flock will come to that particular shepherd. It's amazing. You know, we called them dumb a while ago, and they are. But there are some unique things about sheep. I hear his voice. Do you hear his voice? Amen. Jesus Christ's voice. I hope this morning you know you're saved. I hope you know that you're a child of the King. The sheep follow. They follow him. They weren't just following a man. Jesus Christ was not just a man. Jesus Christ was God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. They were following the God-man, the chief shepherd. By the way, there's not many roads. It says there was a door into that sheepfold. And it was Christ who was opening and closing it, the shepherd opening and closing it. Jesus said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." There is one way into the sheepfold. And then we see also not only is there only one true shepherd, but there's an available shepherd. He is available to us. Verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Again, Jesus Christ is the door. Hebrews 13:20 reiterates this same truth, that Christ is the door. He is the door for the sheep. Again, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus' own words, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus Christ is the way. We live in a pluralistic society today. We live in a society today where it's not politically correct to say that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. But can I tell you, the Bible makes that very clear. Amen. That Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Amen. For you see, Buddha is not alive. He's dead. Muhammad is dead. Confucius is dead. But Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive and well today, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And those who put their trust in him, those who go into the sheepfold by way of the door, the only door, which is Jesus Christ, can and will be saved. Anyone can enter. I love the verse, John 5, verse 1, speaks about the, again, God no respecter of persons, that the ground is level at the cross. That it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. No, it doesn't matter whether you're your ethnicity. It doesn't matter, again, whether you're ugly or pretty. It doesn't matter what you've done. Don't you love that? Paul, who wrote over half the New Testament, was a murderer, and yet God saved him. Listen, God will save you. Anyone can enter into the door. There's one door, one door, one door. Only one. One door. Say, preacher, you really believe that? I believe it without a doubt. And then we see, lastly, the shepherd's love. Then that he died for his sheep. I am the door, he says, verse 10. The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Can I tell you, the shepherd gives us life. I'm glad today that I have life. I was born in March 4th, 1974. I'm 42. Okay, so you did the math. I look like I'm 57. Yeah. But I came into this life in the big city of Bowie, Texas, and 60 miles north of here. I was given life. By the way, it's still a miracle in the way that God seemed fit to see us be born in this world. But the life that Jesus gives is more than just the life that we have now. It's the life that we have here to come. There is a life after this. Can I just remind you? There's life after this. And heaven one day, if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, heaven will be your home. But I love this verse. The shepherd not only gives us life, but he gives us life more abundant. What is this abundant life? This abundant life is talking about here and now. See, Jesus Christ doesn't just love us and give us eternal life just for the ends. See, Jesus Christ loves us and gave us eternal life to help us now. I can tell you that the greatest experience of my life was the day I got saved. And that as a saved, born-again believer, that my life, not always perfect, not always smooth, but my life has been seen fit by the Lord Jesus Christ to be abundant. I've been blessed beyond measure. I don't know how people do it without the Lord. Amen. I really don't. I don't know how someone loses a loved one and makes it through that trial, that testing, without the Lord. I don't know how someone who may have health problems or whatever the case, but how they make it through without the Lord and having the shepherd there to lead us and direct us and love on us and care for us. I don't know how people make it through. The greatest decision you'll ever make is to accept and have the shepherd as your Savior. I'm telling you, he came to give us life and to give us life more abundant. Abundant life. That spirit-filled life. Are you experiencing, Christian, are you experiencing that abundant life? Life was not meant to be endured. It was meant to be enjoyed. Are you enjoying life? Right? Kids were not meant to be endured. Kids were meant to be enjoyed. Are you enjoying your kids? Marriage was not meant to be endured. Marriage was meant to be enjoyed. Are you enjoying life? Part of having that abundant life is enjoying life. All aspects of life. And again, I'm not a TV evangelist telling you that when you get saved, all your problems go away, because that's not true. The Bible never says that. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But by the way, he says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life now. So his love, the shepherd's love for us, is not just to effect our eternal destiny. His love for us, the shepherd's love for us, and us entering the door and having a shepherd who tends to us and cares for us, is here and now. Do you experience that? Are you experiencing that? The shepherd's love. The shepherd loved us so much that he died for us. By the way, he did so voluntarily. John 10 says, no man takes my life, but he gave it. He gave his life for us. Look there, verse 18. It says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus Christ died for us. Isaiah 53, that he took upon himself the sins of the world. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And there He atoned for our sins. There, He took my place. He was my substitute on the cross. There, He died and paid the penalty for my sin. This great shepherd, this loving shepherd, the good shepherd who gives His life for His sheep. I've been justified just as if I'd never sinned. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The good shepherd shed His blood for us, and He alone saves us. He died to give us eternal life. Look at John 10, 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I just want to remind you that He said He gives unto us eternal life. The Bible teaches eternal security in that when I get saved, I'm always saved. I can't lose my salvation. I'm glad for that peace and knowing that when I accepted Christ as my Savior, that it's forever. That I don't have to lay down in my head at night and think of all my sins and try to get them confessed because if I don't, that maybe I won't go to heaven when I die. No, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand, that we are in the Father's hand and we are in Christ's hand, and no man can pluck us out of His hand.
Amen.
That's eternal security. By the way, is eternal still mean eternal? Those who believe that you can lose your salvation. By the way, those who believe they can lose their salvation are doing something to keep it, which is works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So those who would believe that they can accept Christ as Savior and then lose it are merely working for their salvation. Might as well put them in the category of all the rest of the religions around the world who work for their salvation. Salvation is eternal. It's forever. No man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. By the way, the Bible says it's a gift of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. And so if God was to take it back, it wouldn't be a gift. I know that's simple. We teach that a lot, but it's true. If I give my kids a gift, Micah's birthday is Wednesday, he might get something or he might not. We haven't decided yet. But if and when we give him something, you know, and a couple days later we were to take it back, that's not a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, I received the greatest gift in my entire life at the age of 6 years old when I knelt in my pastor's office and accepted Christ as my Savior. And Jesus became my shepherd. And I'm so thankful that He is there to lead me and direct me and help me and care for me in my struggles of this life. Once you're saved, once you're in the hand of God, we are eternally secure. Eternally secure. There are so many verses in the Bible that allude to or talk about the shepherd. And you could preach on it for weeks. And one of the most famous passages is Psalm 23. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. Can I ask you that question this morning? Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? We had 7 children saved at Vacation Bible School this week. Wouldn't it be great this morning to see maybe an adult or two or some kids saved this morning? If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can get saved today. You simply need to walk the aisle here in a moment. We're going to sing a verse of invitation, sing a song. You just step out of your chair and come forward, and an adult here will show you from the Bible how you can know you can have eternal life, how you can become a Christian, a born-again believer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm glad He takes care of me, don't you? Right? But my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ supplies all of my needs. By the way, He supplies my needs, my physical needs. Listen, He supplies my physical needs. He supplies my relational needs. I have a few of those every once in a while. He supplies my health needs. He supplies my needs. And He's promised to do so. And then it says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Listen, I'm just to follow Him. I'm just to follow His lead. He's my shepherd. I'm to follow Him. And if you'll follow the shepherd, Christian, if you'll follow the shepherd, he will lead you in the path of righteousness. He'll lead you to those still waters. He'll lead you to those green pastures. Verse 3 says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I love that verse. Can I just tell you, as a Christian, that death is just merely a shadow? Paul refers to it as sleep. Now, we're not talking about soul sleep. That's ridiculous. I'm talking about referring to death as merely passing from this life to the next, of just falling asleep, to enter the gates of heaven, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 1 Corinthians tells us that. There's no in-between stage. There's no in-between state that you have to go to and then somebody has to baptize you or baptize to get you out of that state. And the Bible nowhere mentions that. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. He's always there. He's always there. You say, well, I sure don't feel like He's there with me. Well, you may not feel like He is, but He's there. Just accept it by faith. And when you're experiencing that trial, when you're experiencing that test, when you're going through that health scare or whatever it may be, just remind you that Jesus Christ is there. The shepherd is there. I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's a whole nother sermon. Sometimes we need the rod of correction, don't we? And the staff speaks of that, again, that crook in the staff in which the shepherd would use to lovingly pick up a sheep and to care for them. So it's both the correction and the caring. By the way, that's kind of how parents should be, right? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One day the trumpet will sound. One day Jesus Christ will return for us. One day. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life is following me. We have a Heavenly Father. We have a shepherd who loves us, who cares for us. He has a heart of love for you because He is the shepherd. And the shepherd loves his sheep. Had 99, went out and found the one because He loves his sheep. And He loves you this morning. Have you experienced the shepherd's love? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Christian, this morning, Christ came to give us life and give us life more abundant. Are you experiencing an abundant life? If not, you need to come down. Come down to the altar and say, Lord, I'm not experiencing this abundant life. Lord, life is not enjoyable. Come get it right, because life was meant to be enjoyed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. We thank You for the love that You've so richly given to us. And we pray this morning as we ponder the subject of the shepherd that we would see this great illustration as a means to understand Your love for us. Lord, we thank You that You are no respecter of persons. And Lord, we thank You that You open the door for us to enter in and to have salvation. And Lord, we thank You that You are there in the time that we need You, that You never leave us nor forsake us. God, we thank You that You loved us so much, You gave Your life for us, shed Your blood for us. Lord, help us to never take that for granted. Heavenly Father, if there's someone here who's not saved, there's someone here who's never accepted You as Savior, I pray today they get saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, help us to be vigilant as Christians. Help us to be about the Father's business. In Jesus' name.